Hey, welcome back to the Pressing Coverage Podcast. I'm Mason, and as always, I'm joined by the one, the only. He just got done thawed out of a giant ice cube. It's Max Wiener! Max, what's good?
Not much, Mason. Just another day, another dollar, just hanging out here in Happy Valley, Pennsylvania. And, Mason, do you know, today's a very special pod. Do you know why?
No, Max, I do not.
We have a very special guest. Special guest, do you want to introduce yourself?
It's Dean Straka here, back again after a month hiatus or so. It's good to be back on the show. Thanks for having me. Looking forward
One of our favorite baseball experts joins the pod. Dean is also known as the Bionic Man because he can do things that no other man can do. Don't ask me to elaborate on those things.
Are we going to get Ken Rosenthal to come over here sometime soon, like we talked about?
We're negotiating. You
know, if he's willing to take a very, very, very steep hometown discount, then I'm so down.
By steep, like maybe we'll buy him a Whataburger patty melt once a week.
He still has Fox to get some income, so we're good.
Yeah, you can't put a price on a good patty melt.
Just can't write.
Yeah, that's fair. We're here today to talk about the second half of the MLB season. We just wrapped up the All-Star Game about a week and a half ago, and now we're ready to dive in all the way into the second half of the season, and we'll maybe talk even a little preview of the playoffs. So let's see. All right, so Max, what's been going on in the sphere of baseball?
So with it being the month of July, the biggest talk in baseball right now are trades, since the trade deadline is coming up in a few weeks. And there have been a few trades of notes that have occurred in the very recent past. So, Mason, do you want to run down those trades real quick?
So, first of all, my personal favorite trade. So, as you guys know, I'm always a big advocate for Paul Goldschmidt being MVP, mainly because one of our good friends, one of Dean and I's good friends, Justin, he's a huge Diamondbacks fan.
D-backs should be one. Forever and always.
Be number one. Yep, always, always. And they're winning the next 69, dab.
Every comment on my power rankings, every time he always jumps on there and always makes that trademark quote. So
he's a loyal fan.
Look out for it again next time I do a power rankings.
Yeah. So Detroit traded Jimenez to Arizona. And for I believe it was three prospects. Max, you want to walk through those prospects?
Yep, so the three prospects included in the J.D. Martinez deal. First off, we have Dawell Lugo, who is an infielder. He can play either shortstop or third baseman. He is currently in the double-A level. Next up, we have Sergio Alcantara. He is a shortstop and second baseman, currently in the high-A level. And finally, we have Jose King, who also is a middle infielder and is currently at the rookie ball level.
So, Max and Dean, you go first. Dean, what are your initial thoughts on this trade?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good trade given they just got swept by the Braves out of the break. They need some reinforcement, you know, obviously to get the mojo back. You know, they kind of went through a little skid. They lost, I think, 8 of their 11 games before winning on Monday, so they definitely need a little spark. And I think Martinez, what he's done with Detroit the last, you know, few years, going back to even some of the World Series runs they made, and you know, in the playoffs, so I think he can definitely kind of reinvigorate the you know, Diamondbacks team going forward. But even then, they're still playing in a very stacked NL West. There'll be a lot of competition with the Rockies. LA looks pretty uncatchable right now, so I don't know if it'll be enough to get them to the, you know, top of the division, but certainly for the top wild card spot, it'll be a valuable pickup in that regard.
Yeah. Max, what about you? What are your thoughts?
So for the Diamondbacks, I really like this trade because JD has been fantastic since moving to Detroit. He has, the past three seasons, he has had at least 20 home runs and upwards of 70 RPI or RBIs around average, and he looks to be on pace for his normal production. And also, he's going to immediately slot into left field for them, The only thing that is interesting, I think he was used more as a he's played the outfield the majority of this year. I always thought of him as more of somebody who would eventually transition into a DH player, but he will immediately slot in the left field for them and provide another fantastic bat for an already stacked order. The only thing, I do not like this trade, though, for Detroit. I really feel like JD is a player who is still fantastic young. He is producing very well, especially since they pretty much picked him up for nothing because he was doing terrible when he was in Houston. And, yes, this is a contract year for him, but I think that they definitely could have gotten more from somebody else for this trade. Because these three prospects, while they are higher up in Arizona's system, Arizona overall has a very, very weak farm system. And some of these players would honestly not rank in the top 15 of stronger systems in the league right now. So I think if they would have held out for another week or so, that they definitely could have gotten a better return for a player who has been extremely productive for them.
So, Max, but real quick, who else is in the Arizona Diamondbacks outfield?
So, AJ Pollock and
That's all I really wanted you to say was the sexiest man in the MLB was AJ Pollock.
So, do they have the most attractive outfield in the MLB right now?
It depends if Cody Bellinger is playing first base or left field.
Ooh.
So, I mean, it depends. It's a toss-up for me. Strictly man crush, though. Okay, so the next big trade that we haven't talked about, we already talked about the Quintana trade last week. So the Nationals acquired Sean Doolittle and Ryan Madsen from the A's, from the good old Billy Bean Oakland Athletics. What are your guys' thoughts on that? We all know that the Nats really desperately needed bullpen help, and it seems like this was the trade to do that. So what are your thoughts on the team going forward and this trade immediately?
Yeah, you know, I agree. I mean, they had, I think, only one reliever that had a ERA less than 4.0. That's not going to cut it. Even being 20 games above 500, I mean, you have to have some reliability come the postseasons we've seen. You guys probably recall in 2012, Drew Storm blew up and then did again in 14. It could have cost them maybe a trip to the NLCS for all we know. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly a start. They still have a lot of issues to fix. But, you know, we saw Doolittle excel pretty well with Oakland the last few years, you know, back to the days of the, I guess, Moneyball A's from 2012 to 2014, more or less. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly, I think, a step in the right direction. And, you know, the Nats do have a pretty weak division all in all with teams like the Mets, the Braves, Marlins. So, I mean, it's going to be enough, I think, to get safely, you know, away from everybody else. And it'll be definitely a spark in some regard. But, you know, you have to get the whole entire bullpen functioning as a whole if you want to really have an impact. Because come the playoffs, you know, you have one mistake along the way and you're pretty much done.
So wait, did you say some regard or Syndergaard? I honestly just wanted to use
Oh, some regard. Some regard.
No, Dean, I just wanted to use this as a segue real quick to talk about how, once again, this is your daily reminder of how sad we are that the Mets are all hurt.
They're up 7-1 right now. They're killing St. Louis. I don't know if you guys saw that game on ESPN.
I'm always down to hear.
Turning them around, maybe. Who knows?
St. Louis getting beat. We were just talking a couple weeks ago about how interesting we find Matt Harvey, and hopefully he gets his mojo back soon. But Max, what were your thoughts on that trade?
So for a very long time, the fans of the Nationals have been pleading for a better bullpen, because this is the only thing, in my opinion, holding this team back is a functional bullpen. Not a great bullpen, just a functioning bullpen, because they do not have that right now. So both Sean Doolittle, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Doolittle is getting the save chances, or is Madsen?
I'm not
okay.
Sure.
So
I think he's getting
Doolittle
the save chances.
Is getting the save opportunities right now.
He had a shaky save though last night in his debut.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
Gave up a earned run, so he does have a 9 ERA right now for the Nationals, but small sample size. But I think this is a fantastic step in the right direction for them. They need people in the bullpen. I definitely think they are going to make another move because I don't think two guys are going to cut it right now. And they definitely have the prospect depth to be able to make another move. And I think this is very interesting for the A's because training. So he came in to Washington fighting for the closer's role, and he did not show up. He has a 5.73 ERA with the Nationals this year. He did have a solid year with them last year, so I think, as Dean was saying, this is kind of the A's playing money ball, buying low on a guy who has a history of doing well. And then the two prospects they got, Jesus Luzardo is a pitcher in rookie ball right now. He's really, really young. He was just drafted last year in the third round, so you don't know what you're getting with him. And then they also got Sheldon Neuse, which is a third baseman and shortstop prospect who is having a very, very solid year in A-ball right now. And he is a pick out of y'all's favorite university, Boomer Sooner University of Oklahoma. And guess where he's from?
Flower
Lake Forest,
Mound.
California.
He is from the Fort, Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay. That was
the other home.
So he went to Fossil Ridge High School, but he was born in Fort Worth. So he is a DFW legend, if I do say so myself. But I think this is a solid trade for both sides. I thought maybe the A's could have maybe gotten a little more for these guys who have been doing very well. And since the reliever market has kind of exploded in the past few years. But you never know. They are always – I feel like they're always playing 4D chess and they're five steps in front of everyone else in terms of young guys who will be able to produce.
That was a take, Max. That was a take. So the biggest trade, the most recent trade that we just haven't talked about yet. So the good old Yankees have traded with the White Sox, who have – just been selling all season long, ever since the beginning of the, I guess even before the season started with Chris Sale. So the Yankees traded four prospects to the White Sox for the Todd father, Todd Frazier, David Robinson, and Tommy, I don't even know how to say, is it Cannell?
Cannell, yeah.
Danny Cannell?
Oh my gosh, don't mention that name on this podcast.
I apologize.
So Max and Dean, guys, what are your thoughts on this last trade?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool because you probably saw it's been blowing up back in 1998 during the World Series. Todd Frazier, who's also a New Jersey native and a Yankees fan growing up, was there with Jeter as a 12-year-old during the World Series pregame activities. And now here he is 19 years later wearing the pinstripes finally. It's certainly cool to see him, yeah, be the hometown guy kind of for the team. But yeah, after, you know, New York kind of went through the skid going into the All-Star break, could certainly use some more reinforcement, you know, at the plate. I mean, you have Aaron Judge and you have guys like Gary Sanchez, obviously, but you're playing in the, you know, AL East. It's pretty tough hitting. It's certainly, you know, a big boost for them. I haven't really read through all the details as far as who New York gave up for it. But I mean, like you said, the White Sox too, I mean, they're just getting more and more prospects as they sell off their assets. So look for them to be, you know, a team that's competing for big things come, you know, 2-3 years from now. I think Chicago has some pretty good things ahead baseball-wise on both sides. So looking forward to seeing if the Yankees can, you know, use this trade to maybe even make a run at the AL East title. Because Boston is playing pretty good right now, too, obviously.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Boston's to win. Don't sleep on Tampa Bay. They're in second place. By,
yeah,
like,
that's
two
a
or
surprise.
Three game. But, you know, I was talking with Max about this earlier. I'm not sure that they're playoff locks anymore, but we'll bounce into that in a little bit, Max. I wanted to hear what your thoughts are on the Todd father trade.
So I think the Yankees definitely, they needed to do something to put them in a better position to compete for the playoffs. They do have the wild card spot right now, but nothing is guaranteed with how close the AL race is currently. So I do really like this trade for both sides. Firstly, for the Yankees, as Dean was saying, Todd Frazier is a guy who fan growing up, you taking him back to his hometown team, that is always something that's very attractive for both sides. He's having an okay year, 16 home runs, 44 RBIs. Not his best year, but he is very solid. My guess is he's going to slot in for them at first base because he does have he has started a few games with Chicago at first base this year, and the Yankees definitely need first base help. They also get both David Robertson and Tommy Cannell, who were actually both drafted by the Yankees. So they know these guys. They have a history with them. So they are their guys. And I think that it will definitely help them going forward, that they were already familiar with that system. And I've been reading that the Yankees have locked up guys to pitch innings 6 through 9 for them. Very esque of Kansas City a few years ago, which is very, very interesting. I'm excited to see how that bullpen shapes up. And then for the White Sox, the centerpiece of this trade is Blake Rutherford, who was the Yankees' first-round pick last season. Should be very interesting to see. He is still very, very young. He's only 20 years old in A-ball. Not having the greatest season, but they are definitely going for that full rebuild. And he is ranked as a top 50 prospect right now. And then both Ian Clarkson, who is a left-handed pitcher, is having a very, very solid year in high A-ball right now. Tito Polo is an outfielder who is kind of just, he's been in the system since age 17, currently in high A ball and having a nice season. And then finally, Tyler Clippard is a reliever who is more of a veteran. And I think it's just a guy who the best year, but as a career, he's been a very, very good reliever. And I think that's a guy who can help the White Sox now, not an effect of they're trying to compete, but just somebody they can stick in and give them quality innings.
Leadership, exactly. Sure, and experience.
Exactly.
Also, too, I mean, it's going to be kind of remembered, too. I think that here we had, you know, the Red Sox almost locked in on this trade. There were reports they had him locked down, and then all of a sudden the Yankees just swoop in there. It might kind of be the first step in reinvigorating the rivalry that we used to know and love so much about, you know, 13 years ago. So hopefully a step back into maybe creating another Red Sox Yankees playoff series down the road. Selfishly, I'm hoping to see that happen again at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that. No, this I don't. This is okay. This might be a take, but I never felt like there was like that big of a rivalry, other than that like stretch of maybe 6 years from 2004 to 2010, because the Yankees. I can't remember what the all-time record Yankees against Red Sox is, but they've dominated them almost, you know, the entire time. Only recently they're kind of been. So I don't know if it's really a rivalry, but I mean, there's definitely friction there. I mean
they have what? Three different playoff meetings from 98, 2003, and 2004. I mean, that's enough that you're going to have a,
but a rivalry is dictated by both sides are able to win, and the only that's where I'm coming from. Not that I'm saying that there's not
intense. The fans I'm just get saying, into it. It's like a soccer game that you see in Europe nowadays.
Yeah. That's I agree with that for sure. I'm thinking more. It's just a bitter fest. I don't know what word to use, but anyways.
Oh, I understand.
So now let's talk about potential trades. Max, walk me through some of the trade rumors that are going on right now.
So, in terms of trade rumors, again, this time of the year, I think that what a lot of teams are looking for are starters to help elevate their team to the next level. A lot of flurries going around. Is Yu Darvish available? Who would be the best rental arm for this time of the year, since his contract does end at the end of the season? And then also, Dean, Cueto, if the Giants are going full sell, would also be a very interesting trade opportunity. So then just some other names who might potentially be on the block. Trevor Cahill, the Padres. Marco Estrada, the Blue Jays. Then Yamy Garcia of the Braves. But
Sonny Gray.
Sonny Gray, yeah.
Sonny Gray. I don't know. I think they're more throwing him out there. I don't know if they're actually going to move him, because he is still young, controllable, and I think unless they get an offer that really wows them, they're not going to move Sonny.
True. I could see maybe like somebody though, like Houston or L.A. trying to get Gray at some point. I mean, given the budgets they have, especially L.A. I mean, they need somebody. I feel like the Dodgers. They need somebody, I feel like, to, you know, leave. Rich Hill is so old. I mean, he's been playing pretty good for his age, but I feel like at some point you have to get some reinforcement. You can't expect him to be as good as he's been all the way to the stretch run. So, I mean, just throwing it out there. But you're right about that being, you know, a young guy who still is pretty darn talented. And I think that, you know, they have a reason to, you know, be cautious if they're going to sell him off. Indeed.
I've heard the Brewers are interested in Sonny Gray.
Yeah, that makes sense too. They're definitely, the Cubs are making a charge. They got to get some reinforcement to offset that.
Yeah. But I would love for him to go to Colorado, man. Just to back up that pitching, because we talked about earlier how, or we've talked about it numerous times, just how, you know, if as long as their pitching can kind of stay the way it is, because obviously they have Nolan Arenado, but their offense has kind of been underwhelming this year, and so if their pitching can continue to make up for that, which is so weird to say out loud because it's, you know, the Colorado Rockies, but
18 runs today, FYI, just a heads up. So it might be well,
yeah, as I say, their offense is underwhelming, but yeah.
Yeah, they had a game against the Mets where Chatwood actually came out and they thought he was hurt. They got crushed last week. You may have seen that, but yeah, I definitely can see some concern there.
But yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of time left, so can't put a final verdict on it. But yeah, Max, what is your personal – what trade do you think is most likely to happen?
So I think, as I kind of mentioned earlier in the podcast, I think that the Nationals are going to go for one more bullpen piece. And by bullpen piece, I think they are going to go hard after Zach Britton, because the Orioles have said that they are looking to sell, and they've gotten approval from their management to move some of their more veteran relievers. And I think that the Nationals definitely have the prospect depth to be able to get Britton, because Britton is, when he's on, he is virtually untouchable. Before he got hurt, he was, you could argue, he was a top three, if not the best closer in the game right now. So I think something to the tune of Zach Britton for at least, since definitely the O's would look for a pitching prospect, with right now, Eric Fetty is their best pitching prospect. I think
Eric Fetty Wap?
Yes. Eric Fetty Wap. Okay. I think he definitely could be a centerpiece of the trade. Then another guy like maybe Drew Ward, who is having a very, very good season, could also be included in that trade. I think that'd be a good deal for both sides, because the Orioles are kind of in this no man's land between being able to compete and needing more pieces, while the Nationals definitely need someone who can solidify the back end of that bullpen and be the definite closer for that team.
Well, speaking of which, might want to cover your ears with this too, boys, but the Orioles just put up 7 runs on the Rangers as we were podcasting.
Yeah, we know.
They're going to be only, about 4 games under 500. So, I mean, 8 games out of the lead in the AL East. I mean, I'm still hesitant to even believe they're going to be sellers. I mean, if they can, you know, get a good stretch going, that might change things. But I get what you're saying. It's still a long shot by all means.
Yeah, I'm tempted to agree with you, like, you know, all emotions aside. But it's just so hard when you – I mean, it's almost like a Cliff Lee situation where, you know, you sell the guy.
Yeah.
Even though I won't say he hasn't been good this year, because the offense is just so frustrating to watch now and so inconsistent at times. But, I feel like his trade value may have gone down a little bit this year, but obviously win-loss is very – isn't the most reliable thing to look at with pitchers. But yeah, I will be surprised if he gets traded, just because he is kind of, you know, so beloved and almost worshipped here in Texas. But at the same time, I would get why if the going got that tough.
I think we should do it.
Mason,
I hate it too, but his contract ends at the end of the season. He can definitely help a playoff team right now, and we are very much in a situation where there are glaring holes in our organization, especially at starting pitching and our relievers right now, and we definitely need to restock. So I would love if we can go to a team like the Rockies and get like a Riley Pint or Jeff Hoffman. And then they have some great, even like Ramiel Tapia too. That would be a huge boost for our system and to be able to have us compete in 2 to 3 years.
Well, I think this trade all depends on whether or not you think he's going to come back next year.
I don't think he's going to be a Yankee 30. Or a Dodger. I feel
so.
He's 32 years old too, isn't he? He's getting a little bit up there in age. I mean,
I think he's got one. Yeah.
Just saying, I mean, I know he's still able to do good things, but I mean, he's kind of getting to that point where it's starting to be a little bit like, yeah, you're running out of time. you got to make the next few years count before it's, you know, downhill.
So he is 30.
30, okay. Maybe it was Hamels who was 32. I don't know. One of them was a little bit older.
So I was originally of the mindset that he's not going to come back next year. But then I was too. Max ironically talked me into that he's got a good chance of staying here because I don't think we're going to ask him for a hometown discount. I think we know that that's not going to work. I mean, and Max, you said that, you know, he enjoys pitching here, even though there's all this like weird discussion that he's not connected with the locker room, which isn't true at all.
He barely speaks English. It's hard for you to be connected to a locker room where you can barely communicate with the other guys.
Here's the thing. Half the locker room doesn't speak English anyways.
True.
So, I mean, that's the thing. Or, I'm sorry, it does speak good English. But, you know, I'm not going to base all my, you know, opinion on this. But, you know, I follow him on Snapchat and Instagram, and he's always out with all the pitching staff. They're always going out to dinner together. They're always hanging out. They're always talking with each other. I mean, he seems like he enjoys being here, and he knows that everyone thinks he's the guy here. Even though I might argue that he's the second best pitcher on the rotation this year. So like that you can't really put a price on the fandom that surrounds him, you know? So I think that would have also something to do with it. But if, I mean, you know, money talks, man. So I can see the Dodgers taking him, which, I mean, like, I would be happy.
I can see that too. I was looking at, you have, you know, a lot of young guys there. He could kind of be the mentor to them.
That'd be a ridiculous 1-2 punch with Kershaw.
And I mean, you have guys like, you know, Kent Tomato and Julio Urias and all these young guys, I mean, that are all, you know, kind of on the rise, kind of like you was almost, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say 1-2 punch. I'd say like 1-2-3-4 punch.
True.
With
Alex Wood.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Rich Hill, I just am not sold on. I think he's not going to sustain himself all the way to the end. But Alex Wood has been one of the biggest surprises and best pitchers in the NL that I think I've seen, you know, save a few names like Kershaw, obviously.
So Dean, let me ask you, what's the flashiest realistic trade that you want to happen other than the ones we've just talked about?
The flashiest trade. Let's see what we got. Got to say, you know, there's a rumor out there of Giancarlo Stanton possibly ending up in San Fran. I don't know.
There's no way.
I don't know how it could happen. No way. The Giants aren't really contending. They're like 35 wins right now. So, I mean, it doesn't make sense. But, I mean, granted that they are looking for some big bats to kind of restore the horrible outfield they've had this year. I mean, I could see them maybe, you know, if they had some good deal where it was like Hunter Pence, Brandon Belt, Joe Panik all being dealt off. But the thing is, I want to say that the Phillies just beat the Marlins again today. So, I mean, Miami's kind of quickly falling out of the picture in the NL East. So, I mean, they got to make some ground to even prove that they're trying to make a run at things. Nine games under 15 games out of first place now. So it's looking less likely and likely. But, I mean, as a Giants fan here, I would personally love to have kind of the reincarnation of Barry Bonds, you know, in the Bay.
But even if he does.
Don't really. Save the Belco element.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just – to me, it's a dream at this point. But, I mean, you know, something really crazy went down. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a great story, and I think it would be something that baseball – would be good for baseball. Get Stanton into a – I'm like – I don't want to – I don't know if –
A team that has shown they can be successful the last 2 years.
I would say just get him in a place where people want to watch. I mean
– Exactly. The fans show up, win or lose.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that'll be great for him because, I mean, Miami is such a cool place to live. I mean, no hate on the city of Miami, but, like, no one gives a crap about the Marlins there.
See all the empty seats at the All-Star game? It was sad. I mean,
yeah,
I can't even explain it.
Yeah, I am just a little worried of what that would do to the Giants cap because that contract is so big.
Oh, yeah.
That would be the only reason that trade would happen was because San Fran would be taking the whole blunt of that contract and in letting the Marlins be able to go out and spend money on other players. It's the only way I can see that being any way possible.
Yeah, I mean, as a fan, too, I mean, I'm a little weary about the idea of giving up Joe Panik. I know he's kind of dropped off after his rookie year, but, I mean, the kid's shown some pretty good glove work in the infield, so I personally would think it's worth giving him a few more years, seeing if he can kind of find his game back. Hunter Pence, he's 33 now. I mean, he's kind of on the downslope of things. So, I mean, I could see him being a more plausible trade. Even Johnny Cueto, too. I mean, he's, you know, taking a big step back after last year. You know, another name that you could always see going somewhere else, too, obviously. But the Giants, I mean, they're definitely probably going to be sellers, even though a lot of players have said they don't want the bond to be broken up from the World Series teams. But when you have a record as bad as theirs, you have to almost think it's inevitable for some people to
move on. You have to move on at some point. Like, yeah, they were probably one of the most
successful franchises.
Yeah, you don't move those two. There's no – yeah. Well,
so, I mean, if the Marlins – so go back to the Marlins. If they are going to be a seller this year, there's only one thing. The first thing they need to sell is the team to a different man and to different management because the owner is so disinterested. And I think I that's why I really want the Derek Jeter sale to happen because I just know he's going to – he's so dedicated to the game. And, you know, he's going to invest all of himself into that. And it'll be just – it's a great baseball story as well. And so –
real fast, Giants. Actually, Miami has not won a game out of the All-Star break. They got swept out the entire week so far. Got swept by the Dodgers and got swept by the Phillies at home. And now they actually they're coming here next week.
They're coming to Globe Life to play the Rangers. Yeah. So, Dean, real quick, let me ask you. Just you know, speaking of kind of collapsing things in San Fran, Dean, what happened to Matt Moore this year? Wasn't he supposed to be promising?
Oh, I thought he'd be great. I mean, you saw him last year and, you know, the tail end of the year in the playoffs before the bullpen collapse happened at the end of the season. I mean, I thought he would be one of the guys who would really make a name for himself. You know, and the Giants obviously weren't sure if they were going to keep him after last year, but they decided, hey, we'll give him a chance. He was so good for us in the stretch. But, yeah, now he has the second highest ERA in the whole entire majors, you know, highest in the NL. So it's a pretty big disappointment. I mean, you can't really, I guess, you know, get rid of him right now unless you really made some crazy offer because nobody will want him. But, I mean, maybe it's a fluke. I hope it's a fluke. It'd be cool if he came back next year to rebound, but granted, he's, you know, been in the league for a while now. It's hard to see him making a comeback, you know. But, yeah, it's been a weird year. Can't lie. I mean, from the Bumgarner dirt bike accident that kind of came out of nowhere to that, to Cueto dropping off. I mean, Smarzo's kind of been giving, you know, us some issues with home runs the last 2 years, so nothing really new there. But definitely a pitching fiasco, which is kind of odd considering that was a staple of the franchise. Through all the World Series runs.
Yeah. So, Max, what about you? What is the flashy trade you want?
So, very, very, very flashy, but now we know the Detroit Tigers are selling. Is it time for them to try to shed Miggy's contract and try to move on and just go full rebuild? I could see a team... I can see a team like Boston going all in for a guy like Miggy who can be, I'm not going to say David Ortiz, but that type of hitter for them that they can be, even though it is a later part of their career, they have still shown the ability to be prolific hitters. And the Red Sox have been missing that spark in their lineup that had that special of an impact as David Ortiz, that clutch. So they definitely have the prospect depth. While it is not what it once was, I think they do have the pieces right now to potentially be able to coerce a deal with Detroit to get Miggy, which I can see would be a huge, huge, some may say.
Huge, thank you.
Huge.
Which I would be very interested to see that.
So here's the thing. Are they still paying for the Sandoval contract?
Red Sox? Absolutely.
AKA the worst, arguably the worst contract in Major League history.
Where's Bob Pinella, who's getting paid through, what, 33 still? $1 million a year?
Yeah, no. We still have that contract. We still have that. It's an annual holiday.
Oh, yeah. July 1st. It's a big celebration.
Also, it's interesting that you said Miggy for the Red Sox. So I do know they need to add more power because they have the fewest home runs in the AL. But I'm surprised you wouldn't say Verlander because I feel like Verlander would get more.
I agree, but I think that with their starting pitching is, I would say, a lot more stable right now than their hitting. I think that with the signing of Price and Sale, They have that 1-2 punch, so I feel like I think Miggy would be more of a leader and somebody the guys can rally around as well as an impact bat, which I feel like they need more than just a top of the rotation starter, because they have that role filled with Chris Sale.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I feel like just if you get Verlander, then you're automatically the World Series favorite.
So that's always a plus.
Is true. You do get K'd up. You get the eyes elsewhere. So the trade I think, not that I want per se, but the one that I think is that the flashy thing actually could happen is I think the Astros are going to trade for a Toronto starting pitcher, whether that be Stroman or Happ. I would lean more towards Happ. Stroman's the younger one, isn't he?
I believe so.
Yes.
That's why. And so that's why I think it would happen, just because Max, like you've said many times, they have, even though they are a fantastic team right now, they still have a lot in the farm system, and so they can use those assets to put them even further over the top and make it so that they can, I guess now it's just competing really with the Dodgers and Nationals, because they seem to be the gem of the AL, even though Boston is swinging back up right now, no pun intended. Yeah, I think that they're still going to make a trade for a starting pitcher, also because Keuchel hasn't come back yet, and so they want to, I don't know if they want to just mortgage the postseason on him coming back healthy. I think they want to add one more piece. And that's why I'm guessing it would be Toronto, because I think Toronto's also could potentially sell.
I agree. I definitely, Toronto definitely is, everyone thought they'd be competing this year, and they are definitely, they still have a shot at the wild card, but I do not think they're going to make it. They don't have the best prospect system right now. Like they do have Vlad Guerrero Jr., who is just lighting up the minor leagues. They also have Bo Bichette, who has been a breakout star this year.
Wait. What's his name?
Bo Bichette.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Not Bo. Yeah, it's B-O. B-I-C-H-E-T-T-E. Bo Bichette.
Max, are you saying that this kid's name is Boba Fett?
If you say it fast enough, it kind of sounds like it.
Bo Bichette. Oh my god, that just...
Justin, I hope you're listening to this podcast right now.
Yeah,
do you have a big Blue Jays fan friend?
No, Star Wars.
Oh, Star Wars. Okay.
He's the biggest Star Wars fan you're ever going to meet. You got to meet him to fully understand it.
Yeah.
He's in Dallas, so hey, give him a call.
Yeah. I'm going to a Ranger game with him in a couple weeks. Now that we've all discussed our trades, let's actually focus on the teams now. Obviously, we still have a lot of time left. But Max, we'll start with you. Which team do you think is going to – or which teams do you think is going to have a real bounce back second half?
So I think
– Here, let me rephrase. Let me put these two questions in one. Which team do you think is going to have a bounce back second half, and which team do you think is going to have a second half to forget?
Okay. So bounce back is a very loose definition of this, but – I think just based on what their expectation is, I think the Cubs will have a bounce back second half, because I can also see them making a move for a starting pitcher near the deadline, because they're all in. They want to they already got Jose Quintana, but I can see them maybe going to get somebody else. They want to compete here and now. They want to be a dynasty and get back to the World Series. So I think the Cubs are going to perform a lot better. By a lot better, I think they're going to take back the central lead. And then a team that is going to have a second half to forget, I think that is going to be the Twins. I think they are playing they're definitely playing above their expectations, and I think they're going to regress back to the mean as time goes on. They are a very young and talented team, but I do not think they are ready for to be contenders, especially with the Indians still in the Central. So I think they are going to – I think they're still going to end up around 500, but I don't think that they're going to end up – they're going to be more in third place or fourth place in the Central once the year comes to an end.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dean, what about you?
For a bounce back, I mean, yeah, definitely the Cubs. I think, you know, they've kind of come out of the gate pretty strong. They're 5-0 already. So I know they weren't really, you know, a bad team to begin with, but I mean, they had a pretty underwhelming first half, considering most folks thought they'd be the, you know, team to come out of the gate strong at the beginning. You know, other teams too that I feel like could bounce back, the Kansas City Royals. I mean, they were dead last in like the first month of the season. Then they totally came back, stormed back to, you know, get second place just by the All-Star break and get some starters in the game too. And, you know, they have a lot of pieces that are still, you know, they're from the World Series teams that can totally go off at any time. Yeah, so I think they will come back, and I think that might actually be the Twins' downfall right there. Not that they play bad, but the Royals get hot. Other teams, too, I mean, it's kind of hard to say who. You could certainly say, you know, somebody like Seattle, the Mariners. I mean, they're up in second place now in the AL West, and, I mean, they've been kind of due the last few years to make a run. So I'd keep an eye out on them. I think those are kind of my three teams to, you know, say might have a comeback if anyone, even, I guess, Tampa Bay, too. It goes on and on, really. A lot of teams could be, you know, turning things around. A drop-off, dude, I don't know. I got to say, you know, both the Angels and Rangers both look pretty disappointing out of the break. I thought Anaheim would actually make a run on it, but they've been pretty lousy the last few games.
Well, yeah, the fish is back. And, well, so the Rangers, okay.
The Angels, though, I was saying, too. I mean, even with Mike Trout returning, they haven't looked great.
I'll just jump right in and let you finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Rangers are 2-3 right now. They won the first two games against the Royals. They lost the third one on the most cheese, sun in the eyes pop-up I've ever seen. Not the most.
As is tradition.
That was bad.
God dang it, Max. Don't mention that. And, yes, they've looked abysmal. And I've
against Baltimore, all teams,
yeah,
too.
And I just – they've never been good against teams that can really power hit. Sure. Their pitching has never been, unless your name is Cole Hamels or Colby Lewis, the god. Anyways, continue.
Anyhow, the other team that I think is going to regress to a lot, and I mean, not that they were fantastic, you know, during the first half, probably the Marlins, honestly. I mean, they've, you know, looked awful out of the gate. They haven't won a game yet, like I was saying. And given they were right on the cusp of maybe being a factor in the NL East, I mean, it's kind of a shock that they just got swept by the Phillies of all teams, you know, on their home turf. You know, and even, too, I mean, not that it's really a, you know, team that's worrying that much, but, I mean, the Astros with the Correa injury, it's not going to help. So, I mean, they might taper off a little bit, but I wouldn't call that a collapse, you know, given how talented they are and how many pieces they still have going forward. But a lot of shifting can happen in the division standings. But really, as far as the collapse goes, I could see definitely like teams like Miami and maybe the, you know, Halos and Rangers, unfortunately, falling out entirely.
Yeah. For me, so the AL West, the Mariners, the Rangers, and the Angels, they're all coin flip for me right now. The team that I do think is going to not really bounce back but continue momentum is, I think, the Rays are going to keep going. And this kind of does depend on the trade that the Yankees make, seeing if they can bolster their starting pitching more. Just the Rays, they're playing right. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. They're 27-9. They're 27-19 at home. They're 24-26 on the road.
Three games back of Boston right now.
Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, they're playing well at the right time. So I'm gonna, and you know, they're typically a very well run organization, even if they do have the most disgusting field in the MLB.
Rest in peace, Tropicana.
Modern marvel, as we like to say.
Yeah, goodness gracious. So I'm going to put money on them if I had to. The team that I think is going to have down, if they're healthy, I don't think this happens to the Mariners, but that's always a thing, if the Mariners are healthy. If they get injured, I think they're going to go downhill. So, I mean, if you think that they are going to get injured, then, yeah, they probably will. But, yeah, I think the team that's going to kind of taper off is – I'm gonna say it's the Royals. I know you said they were gonna get hot. I'm gonna guess them. They are 3-7 in their last 10 games. I think they're gonna go back to below the median. And I think they're gonna sell. That was my prediction from the beginning of the year.
2.5 games out of both the wild card and AL Central. You got a lot to play for. So
That's true. That's fair.
But the Royals gonna royal. But there is a lot of time left. I think. We'll get a better picture within the next week and a half, once the trade deadline does become once the trade deadline really approaches, we'll really figure out what teams are going all in and what teams are going to kind of lay back and wait for 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Max, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the Home Run Derby, actually.
So a big thing each year is the question if participation in the Home Run Derby affects hitters for the second half of the season. Most notably, recently, the Todd Father had a pretty strong regression after his winning the Home Run Derby. So what are you guys' thoughts on that?
Well, it's funny you say that because where I grew up, you know, near Anaheim, and Mike Socha was always really against his players ever taking part in the Derby for that reason alone. Mark Trumbo was one of the few ones that did it in 2012, and then he kind of regressed to his point. But, I mean, you know, you haven't really, I guess, seen enough of the second half yet to really see what happens to guys like, you know, Aaron Judge and, you know, others. But, I mean, Stanton appears to be just fine out of the, you know, Derby for that matter. I get that it's, you know, a lot of wear and tear, so the guys who might go further into it may have
Yankees
a little
on the
bit
road
more
Minnesota,
of a regression, I guess, it would make sense. But, I mean, I don't know the science behind all that. But, I mean, for me, if I was a coach, I mean, if your team is, you know, maybe either, you know, way up top or way down below and you're pretty much locked in stone, I would say go for it, have fun. If you're, you know, middle of the pack, I can maybe see a little bit, like you don't want to accidentally get hurt and then have your shot at glory all of a sudden crushed. But, I mean, all in all, I mean, it's good for the game. I mean, you saw the ratings were, like, almost higher, I think, than the All-Star game itself this year, which is pretty remarkable, so... It's definitely an important, I think, you know, thing to have for people who otherwise might not be into the game, getting into the game, as far as fans go.
So I think it has some effect, because before the Home Run Derby, one of Mason Knight's favorite players, Joey Gallo, came out and said he was invited to participate, but he decided not to because he didn't want to. He was already such a he's a freak. He hits home runs, and that's about it. Most of his, he has more, extra base hits than singles right now. And, definitely with how low his batting average is, I don't think that doing the Home Run Derby would help him. As shown, this is a small sample size, but since the end of the All-Star break, Aaron Judge is 3 for his last 25, with a 120 batting average, and 0 extra base hits. He was robbed of a home run by Jackie Bradley Jr. that should have gone out, so keep that in mind. But I do think it does have an effect, because for that period of time, all you're doing is trying to hit home runs. You're not trying to think about what type of contact you're making, what is the scenario in the game. And I think it's just hard both on your body and mentally to have that mindset where you're trying to focus on, all right, how am I going to hit all these home runs in this period of time? And then going back to the normal mindset of, okay, now I have to be a baseball player and not just a home run hitter.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of just said my thoughts already with that. So, I mean, yeah, Max, that's a good point that you mentioned about Joey. I mean, like you said, it's kind of the very similar thought that I have. And Dean, what you said is that, yeah, I think this was the most anticipated derby of the past 5 to 10 years.
It was the best one I've seen since Hamilton went yabo in the Big Apple, by far.
I'm still bitter that he didn't win that one, because
that was so messed up.
I'm forgetting what's his name, just freaking snaked his way to the
Justin
finals.
Justin Morton, the Twins old player.
Yeah, that was some freaking, that was some cheese. That was some big.
I was bummed too. I mean, here you have a guy, like, no disrespect to Miguel Sano, but here he only had, I think, he had less home runs than Judge had through 2 rounds, and Judge had in the first round alone, and he made it to the finals. And granted, he had a, you know, pretty good, you know, outing even then. He had some bombs, but you'd be kind of, you know, mad that a guy like Stanton hits more homers than Sano in round one and gets booted because he ran into a hot, you know, hitter in Gary Sanchez. But yeah, I mean, you know, besides that, I didn't have any issues at all with the Home Run Derby. It was a great one to watch, and I won't forget it anytime soon.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, Dean, what other thoughts do you have on the second half that you want to talk about?
Okay.
If you have
prepare any. Prepare yourselves.
Alrighty.
I got a hot take that you're probably gonna just melt at.
Okay.
And yeah, this is gonna be kind of groundbreaking, but I'm gonna say right now that the Los Angeles Dodgers break the 2001 Mariners record of 116 wins and become the most winningest team in baseball history in the regular season.
Wow. Okay.
They've won. Have you seen what they've done? They've won. They're almost about to have won 35 of their last, I think, 39 games. Okay. And they have the Twins coming up, and then they have, I want to say,
the White Sox.
They're playing the White Sox right now. They're up 5-1. They have the Twins at home. They have us at home, the Giants, who they're probably going to tear apart, just knowing how that's going to go. And then they have, I want to say, it might be the Phillies. It's some really, really sloppy team. I mean, their schedule right now is made for them to just take off. And I get, you know, down the road, they'll have to play some more NL West teams like Arizona and Colorado. But, I mean, if they, you know, keep it up and they get some more assets at the deadline, I mean, there's no reason to believe this team, you know, can't, you know, do great things. I mean, they already, I think, topped, I want to say, the 1936 Giants, who had the best start through this many games. So there's already that. So, I mean, they're definitely up there with some of the best teams we've ever seen in our, you know, memories in our lifetimes for sure. But it's just ridiculous how this team can just always find a way to win. You know, every time they're down, they always find a way. And, you know, I know that obviously that won't mean a ton going to the playoffs because you have a team like the Mariners who didn't win at all that year when 0-1 when they won 116 games.
Was that the year that it was canceled, exactly, though?
Say again?
Was that the year that the playoffs were canceled?
No, it was not. It was 2001. It was the year – it was the A's – the A's and Yankees happened with the Jeter flip play in that first round. Then the Yankees beat the Mariners in the ALCS and lost to Arizona.
You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, the good old bloop.
So.
God, this is just like Justin's favorite podcast, I swear to God.
Yeah, better be, or I'm going to be asking some questions about his true fandom.
Yeah, so.
I think it's possible. Like, they are a complete team, you could say, especially with how Bellinger's performing. Their starting pitching has really solidified. They have a solid bullpen. So there are 98 games, I guess 97 since they are playing a game right now. And they have 65 wins. They're on their way for 66. And then so they need another
52
wins, and there are 98 games left. So they have to go, they have to win 46 of their next 90 plus games. So it's definitely possible.
They're 30-4 the last 34 games. That's what it was going into tonight. So, I mean,
that's insane.
They're insane. I've never seen a team like this in my lifetime that I can actually, like, recall clearly. It's the best stretch in team history, and that's a pretty crazy thing considering how old they are, too. I mean, they're definitely up there.
So they have to win 52 more games, and there's how many games left?
96?
Well, that's possible. That's incredibly possible. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
But I think you have to factor in if it's near the end of the season. What's more important, this record or winning the World Series?
Oh, you always go for history. You always go for history.
Let's see who they have down the road, too. I mean, I'm curious if they have to play the Rockies a few times. You know, that's probably the case usually how they pan out. You know, they stay in the division. Even Arizona, too, is probably going to pop up a lot on their schedule. But
they play Arizona three more times.
Okay, hold on. Let's get to the tail end just to see who they have in that week. If y'all want to offer any other opinions right now for the meantime, go ahead.
You know, I have to go through – I mean – so many of my takes have to do with the Rangers, and I don't want this to turn into a DFW sports podcast, but...
That's why you have me.
Yeah.
I think my take is going to be, I do not think... Everyone's like, oh, it's going to be Dodgers-Astros World Series.
No.
I do not think that's going to happen.
I think
baseball...
It's never...
Okay, well, I guess that was not the hottest take in the world. I think baseball is the one sport where there is, I think, a little more parity in terms of the teams that make it to the end. Like, yeah, sometimes the favorite does make it, as in the Cubs last year.
Yeah.
But who expected the Indians to be playing for the World Series last season?
Yeah, the baseball, I'd say more than almost any other – in the postseason in baseball, the best team does not always win. I'd say that happens more than it happens in the NFL.
definitely happens more than in basketball.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I know. Hot take. Shout out to the fact that a team seeded 4 and lower has never made it to the finals.
That's ever. Absurd. Kind of appalling that that's never happened. No one's even come close, now that I think about it. You're right.
So, but yeah.
Anyhow, here's the LA schedule. I got it if you want to see the last month, the breakdown of it. So they have Colorado for 7 games, which is going to be tough. Only Arizona 3 times in September. But then they have the Padres a whopping 8 times.
Okay.
The Giants 6 times. And they have the Phillies for a 4-game series. So, yeah, they're going to be cruising to the end, it looks like. So, I mean.
But they do have to play at Washington, which should be a fun series.
That actually is true. But, I mean, we'll see. I mean, yeah, that's going to be definitely an interesting one, too. I mean, the thing is, too, I mean, you'll get some call-ups by that point for everyone. The teams that are the, you know, very bottom and very top, if they're comfortably, you know, ahead and locked in, or if they're, you know, just way out of the picture. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting. Certainly can happen.
I really feel like they haven't hit a big cold streak yet.
Exactly.
So I think that every team, no matter how good or bad you are, you're going to have adversity at some point in the season. The teams that who end up being the best are the ones who are able to best get past that adversity. And so if the Dodgers do hit a rough streak and they're able to right the ship very quickly, I think they have a shot. But always, I think that if they do hit a very long slump, then I think that it's something they need to put the back of their mind and just focus on winning a World Series and bringing Kershaw the ring he so rightfully deserves.
They already kind of have, almost, because at the very beginning they were only I want to say, yeah, they lost a lot in April. They were third place in the division. So I mean, they kind of already have had their slump in some ways, because they lost, I'm looking right now, they didn't win a series until actually May. So you look at April, and I mean, yeah, they've already kind of overcome, I think, their slump, if you will.
We'll see.
Yeah, just pointing that out. But, I mean, you're right. I mean, it certainly has been a long time since April at this point.
All right. So my last question for you guys. You get who's going to be representing the NL and the AL at the end of October?
I'm going to say the Dodgers. It probably shocks you, Mason, but I'm not going to be a homer here.
You're jinxing it, Dean.
Recognizes game.
I have this odd tingling feeling that you're just trying to jinx Dundee.
Odd, I get it. Odd. Odd indeed. Yeah. Okay, but anyhow, but from the, you know, I guess reasonable standpoint, I think LA can be said they're going to go. For the AL, I'm going to go ahead and say that we get the Boston Red Sox. I think after last year, they're going to be kind of a chip on their shoulder, looking to do better in October than get swept out. No one saw that coming, like we were saying, with the Indians. You know, and given that they've, you know, looked pretty good all in all, I mean, they're playing as good as ever right now. Certainly they'll have to, you know, deal with probably an AL East team come October at some point, given how it's shaping up to be. But yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, the Astros, you know, you were saying, Max, that so rarely do you ever see 2-1 teams make it to the end of October. And I just don't know. I mean, they're so young, the Astros are. I feel like they're probably going to slip at some point. So I'll say Red Sox Dodgers. 2017 World Series.
Okay, Max, what about you?
So I'm gonna get. I think that a team that we've kind of, because of all the teams that have kind of been big news this year, I think we're forgetting that the Indians went to the World Series last year and they were a very, very good team, and they're still a very, very good team. So I think the Indians are gonna go back to the World Series and be the AL, the AL participants in the World Series. I think that they're definitely a team that if they find their identity and get hot at the right time, that like they did last year, they are one of the best teams in the league. And then for the NL, I think this is the year the Nationals figure it out. They're making the moves to fill their holes. And they do have Bryce Harpe.
Bryce Harpe alert.
I think that they're nearing – they know that – the likelihood of them having Bryce long-term is not the best odds. And I think that this is one of their last shots to get a championship in our nation's capital. So I'm going to go Nationals, Indians, World Series.
That's fair. I want to ask, though, does it concern you that out of the break, the Indians got swept by the A's and then lost the series to the Giants and are 1-5 against two bad teams?
Yes, but I think the Indians are going to team that they're not going to be like the Astros or the Dodgers and going to blow their division away. But I think they're going to be a team who's going to be able to fight all season, stay on top. And if they can do what they did last year and really play to their identity, I think they might make a trade at the deadline to kind of fill up a few of their holes that they do have. I think that they definitely have a shot because they I think we've seen in recent memory, the example that comes to mind is the Royals is a team that when you're that close, you want it more than anything else. And I think being that close really adds an extra motivation to your game. And I can definitely see them being a team that's able to go back and take that final step.
Sure. Even the Cubs, too, after getting swept out of the NLCS, then they come back and they win it. I mean, 2 years in a row, you've seen that play out.
Okay.
So that's a good point.
Are you guys prepared for my NL and AL?
Maybe.
What fire suit right now? Is it going to be that hot of a...
I mean, you might need to turn on a couple of fans. You might need to... Hands
on.
Fire department. But floor's representing open. Representing the AL will be the Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh, okay. Longoria is the MVP. This year, call it now. I called it at the beginning of the season.
Didn't see that one coming.
And representing the NL in an upset for the ages, the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Expansion City.
So the World Series, nobody will ever know what's going to happen.
Okay, so I'm only half serious. I totally take all that back. Max, feel free to cut that out. Actually, don't, though.
Giants, baby, bank on it. 65 in a row.
I will get a back tat of the San Francisco Giants 2010 World Series champions.
Max,
if the Giants win the World Series.
I didn't say World Series. I'm saying they get there. They have to get there. If they have to make playoffs. If they make the playoffs, you have to do that. That's how improbable it is. Now that's I kid. We all kid.
I see I've turned this into a hot take hour. From the AL, I think it's going to be Boston, Dean. I'm with you as well. I think they're just going to get it figured out, and I've been skeptical of this the entire year. I'm not sold in starting pitching, and whether that's because I'm a Rangers fan or just because I've learned to always doubt the Astros, I'm not quite sold. I think the Red Sox still have I think pitching is the most important thing come playoff season.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I don't totally disagree with Max's Indians pick, because, they were there last year thanks to their pitching, which was also not even at full strength. And the NL, it is so hard to choose against the Dodgers. But, I think that Arizona is one of those heat check teams that they can just get hot at the right time. I was tempted to pick the Cubs now that they got Quintana, but it's just the most difficult thing in sports is to go back to back, and just because you have so much more less rest than the other guys. But I'm gonna ride with the pick that I've had since the beginning of the season. I'm gonna stick with the Nationals. I think it's the Nationals' year. Then again, I say that every single year, and I say the same thing about the Dodgers, and both of them find ways to eliminate themselves from the playoffs. So I will probably be wrong, but. If it's not the Nationals, then my pick is the Diamondbacks.
All righty. Respectable.
Yep.
All righty.
Speaking of players that deserve to get a ring like Kershaw, Paul Goldschmidt deserves a ring. He's the quietest superstar in this league.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's all I got, boys. You guys got anything else left in the tank or no?
I think I'm out of them.
Where can the people find you, Dean?
I have began writing, and I think I brought it up last time for Land of 10, which is Cox Media Group's Big Ten blog. So
Big Ten Nation.
We are, right? Yeah. But I actually might be moving over to a different site soon within Cox, so I can't guarantee I'll be there for that long. But go to Land of 10, read some good old breaking news. Twitter is DWStraka49. And, yeah, that's where you can find me right in the way about what's going on in the world of college sports.
And you can find Max at Maximus Wiener, and you can find me at Mason_B Shireen. And, of course, please, please go give our blog account a follow. You can follow them at Pressing Cover. And we're out. And all I say is Diamondbacks number one, baby.
Forever and always.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch y'all next time.